Thank you, Reed. So this talk follows up with Jeremy's introduction to hardstack traps and their role in bollworm management very well. So the last couple years, we have been looking at a new type of pheromone trap that would reduce some of the labor requirements. And today I'm going to present some data that several of us have collected, and I'm just presenting the 2017 data. So I had a location in Mississippi. Jeremy Green had one in South Carolina, Dominic Reisig in North Carolina, and Michael Taves in Georgia. All had locations, and Dan Pitts helped pull this whole project together. So we just heard about the hardstack trap designed by Hardstack. He published the design and back then in 79, so we've been using this ever since. And I'm sure most of you know about it. Basically, we're collecting the male moths using a synthetic female sex pheromone. We replace that little rubber septum every 2 to 3 weeks. And some of the advantages of a pheromone trap as compared to other methods of sampling, it doesn't vary from, I can send any Yahoo out there, and as long as he can identify what a coronal earworm moth looks like and not confuse it with some other moth that happened to get in there, he can record the data. Low labor requirement. I mean, it's a high labor if you're checking them every day and you're driving 20, 30 miles between each trap. But compared to going into the field and sampling 100 plants for damage, it's relatively quick. Advantages unique to the hardstack. One project that I'm not talking about today, but you get the male moths in there and they're still alive. So if you collect them fresh, you can test them for pyrethroid resistance or resistance to any other chemical you want to, or you can use them for whatever other purpose you have. Another advantage of hardstacks is now we've got data since 1979 in a lot of locations, so we've got this historical trend of data that if you change to another trapping system, you may not mean too much. So that's something going for these hardstacks. Problems with the pheromone traps. One, of course, it only traps the males, but in the world of population dynamics, the females are the important gender. So, and we know that there are some temporal differences on when the females arrive versus the males, so you don't necessarily know exactly when you're going to be starting to see eggs eggs in the field. As Jeremy just highlighted in his last talk, the association between moth capture and larval infestation is inconsistent. And, you know, there's probably some trends there, but they're so loose that to use them in I need to treat this field or I don't need to treat this field is probably optimistic. One of the reasons, weather. Weather changes their flight behavior and therefore changes how many you're going to catch, but it doesn't change how many moths are out there, and I don't know how much it changes their oviposition rate. So, you know, you get a week of weather that's not conducive to flight, your trap counters are going to be down, but that may not have changed at all the density being experienced in the field. Other limitations of the hardstacks. The buggers are expensive. $250+ per trap. So if you're starting to put a whole network of traps out there, you're laying out some money. And that's just for the, and then you have the pheromone cost on top of that and the labor to run it on top of that. They're very bulky. We have 24 traps that I run, and we spread them out over several counties, and we can't get them all in a pickup truck on one trip. So we go out 1 week and put out half of them, and then the next week we go out put the other half. So and likewise when we're taking them down in the fall. So little bucket traps, you know, you can put hundreds of those in your pickup truck without any problem. So, you know, they're not quite as user-friendly as some traps would be. So the idea of an electronic pheromone trap has some appeal. One, it can improve our data quality. Instead of checking the data twice a week or once a week or whatever you happen to be doing, you have a real-time stamp when each moth entered that trap. So you go there and you have find 100 moths. You know whether they came 3 days ago, last night, 2 hours ago, depending on how you set it up, how sensitive you want it, how frequently you want it to share that data. So you know, so you can, the data quality is just much more exact. So you can look at, it opens up the possibility. Okay, we had a storm front coming through. Did that increase the flight numbers, decrease it? Well, how does wind speed change it? Are they flying right at dusk? Are they flying in the middle of the night? All I know when I go there in the morning is, well, sometimes since last over the night they entered the trap. So it improves that. Reduces labor requirements. The only time you really would have to go there is to change the pheromone, which is, you know, every 2 weeks or so rather than every couple of days. They're using bucket traps, much less bulky. I'm not sure what the electronic part of the thing cost, so I didn't put cost in here. The bucket trap itself, those are cheap. The electronics of it, I didn't buy them, so I don't know what they cost. Here's a word description of what we're doing, and then I'll show pictures after this. So, we're using the same sex pheromone that we've always used in a hard stack trap, so no change there. We're now putting it in a bucket trap, and the males, so we're attracting, still getting males only. They're attracted to the pheromone plug, same as they would be in a hard stack. They hit a series of tines, which completes an electrical circuit, which stuns the moth, and it records, I had a moth hit it. The moth drops into the bucket, and you have it. And we placed kill strips in the bottom of our buckets, which makes sure that they don't revive and fly out, and as well as don't just batter themselves beyond recognition by fluttering around inside that bucket. When a moth enters the mat and triggers a count in the trap, the trap then relays a signal to the cloud, where it is then accessible to you or I on an application on the computer or your smartphone or tablet or whatever. And you charge the trap up at the beginning of the season. It's good for the whole season, so you don't need to deal with bringing it back in for recharging throughout the season. They've developed this trap in the Apple system, and it has apparently worked very well for codling moth and oriental fruit moth, and they have substantial data looking at that stuff. So they were wanting to break into more of the row crop world, and we were looking at bollworms. So here's a picture of the Z trap. So the bottom of it is a standard bucket trap. How'd you get that mouse? Oh, there it is. So you the standard bucket trap down here, and then here's where you can see what's going on in the trap. So you have these tines hanging down. So a moth flies in there. The pheromone is placed inside. You can't see the pheromone here, but it's placed inside here. The moth flies in, hits those tines, completes an electrical circuit, and drops into the bucket. And then all the electronics is up here at the top, and that's where it's making the counts, sending it to the cloud. So our trial wanted to compare hard stack traps, the standard, with these new Z traps. And then the second part is, let's compare what the electronic sensors are catching or recording in these traps with what we actually count when we go and empty those Z traps. So at each of our locations, we deployed 4 hard stacks and 4 Z traps in a farmscape, within a farm, at least 100 meters apart, and we monitored all the traps at least weekly, changed the pheromones every 2 weeks. And here's, I'm not showing every state's data. Here's Mississippi's data. Moths per trap per week, you can see it's very noisy data. So Hardstack is the gray line, and you can see I had very erratic catches from week to week. And they seem to be too close to correspond to generations, so I don't know what. But we don't have the numbers that Jeremy gets in the thousands. You know, I peaked out at about 58 or so per trap per week. Electronic are the blue lines. That's what the bucket trap caught or recorded in the electronic sensors. And then Z-trap is what we manually counted in the bucket of those same exact traps. So if the electronic sensor is working well, the blue and the orange lines should be right on top of each other. And you can see for the first month and a half, 2 months, they did pretty good. Starting at the 22nd of July, throughout the rest of the season, I don't know what happened. The electronic sensors failed. They were consistently, every trap, every week, were lower than the actual counts we got in there. And I contacted the company that makes the traps, said, hey, did you change your algorithm or something? And I got no response. That is what we had in Mississippi. Here I'm showing North Carolina. Now, one big change here is we do not have one y-axis on this graph. The Hardstack data lines up with this the left-hand axis going from 0 to 200. We caught very few moths in the bucket traps. So that's on the right axis, 0 to 30. So catching 8 to 10 times more moths in the hard stacks than we are in the electronic traps. Again, the electronic sensors is consistently lower than the actual number of moths in those same traps. So it's missing stuff. I did not present the other states. The other states are going to look a lot more like North Carolina than Mississippi. But getting back to my objectives, I wanted to look at how the Z-trap compares to the Hardstack trap in actually how well does it catch moths. And in Mississippi, if you look, if they're equally efficient, they should fall along this one-to-one line. In Mississippi, we actually overall were pretty close to that one-to-one line. The R-squared is not awesome. It's not a tight fit to that line, but overall, the bucket traps caught a lot. In the other three states, we aren't even close. We caught, if you look at this equation, we caught roughly 10 times more moths in the Hardstack traps than in the corresponding bucket traps. I don't know why Mississippi is different than the other states. But I will say that a lot of the historical data would be more supportive of the Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina than Mississippi. Comparing the electronic sensor to the manual count, I put all the states' data looked somewhat similar, although of course all the high counts on the Z-trap are from Mississippi. But again, we see that the electronic sensor is underestimating how many are in that trap. This is the average line there, and you see it's 0.57. So we're catching 50-60% of the moths that are actually in those traps. So, and that's all the four states combined in that data set. So in summary, Hardstack traps generally capture more moths than the bucket traps. So if we're going to move to bucket traps, our numbers are going to have very different meaning. But we had this huge regional difference, Mississippi versus the southeastern states. And I do not know why that occurred. The moth captures in the bucket traps didn't always track. And it didn't show a lot of that data, but it didn't always track the Hardstacks. We'd have peaks in the Hardstacks that were totally missed in the buckets. We'd have peaks in the buckets that were not reflected in the Hardstacks. So I don't know which is more accurate. They're both pheromone traps, but they didn't track very well. The electronic sensors, they're not cutting it. They're not accurately recording moth. So in conclusion, pheromone traps are not Don't go out there and buy a bunch of electronic pheromone traps for sampling bollworms at this time. We may keep looking at it some, but it's not there yet by any stretch. With that, I thank Monsanto and Dan Pitts for coordinating it and getting this ball rolling. Spencer Technology provided all the traps for us and replaced all those that got water in them, and which was numerous times, and developed the interface and provided us the data. So thank you for that. And I guess I'm out of time. So, yeah.